This is the word of the Lord found in Psalm 34, verse 18. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Let's just look at the words first. The Lord, who is God, the ruler of all, the one who works His will in a sovereign manner, so that none can stay His hand or say, "What doest thou?" The Lord is nigh. Nigh means near, close to. The Lord's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And that's what I'd like to spend most of my time talking about, a broken heart. And saveth. Saveth means a lot of things in the Bible, depending on the context. Save means to deliver from something, usually something bad, unto something good. Salvation unto eternal life is to be delivered from death and trespasses and sins unto life and glory in Jesus Christ. But there are many other salvations in the Bible. The Apostle Paul says when he's on a ship that's about to be destroyed and the sailors are trying to slip away and sail off in a boat, leave everybody else, he tells the one in control of the ship, the centurion, in whose charge he is, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Obviously, that's a different salvation. That means salvation from shipwreck and possible drowning unto getting the ship close enough to shore to make a good swim for it. The Apostle Paul mentions women and says, "For she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and holiness, charity and sobriety." Obviously, that's not talking about salvation unto eternal life. That's talking about salvation from loneliness and old age, lack of support, lack of a companionship of a spiritual and a natural characteristic. When your children share your beliefs and your goals, what a deliverance that can be. The Apostle Paul further writes to the same one, Timothy, where he says, "Take heed to the doctrine, and to thyself, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue thou in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Well, he's not talking about Timothy, who's already been serving the Lord for a while, being saved from death and trespasses and sins to life in Jesus Christ. He's talking about delivered from error and ignorance, backsliding, falling away, apostasy. He's talking about delivering from that. In fact, there are places in the Bible where it actually says, "Lord, you've saved me. Won't you save me?" Go to Psalm 56, where it says in the last verse, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not also deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before the Lord in the light of the living?" Did you catch that? He said, "You've already delivered. You've already saved my soul from death. Now, Lord, will you give me the guidance and the strength and the direction to deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before you in light, the light of the living?" So we see that salvation is much broader than religious thinkers often think that it is, and you have to take it within context. And here it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Contrite comes from the same root as contrition, and it means a sadness, the sorrow of repentance. It means that feeling of being low before God. And when your spirit is in contrition, deep within, your spirit feels low before the mighty, holy and righteous Spirit of God. You feel in need of His mercy. And so that is a spirit that knows that He's in need of mercy. So the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth or delivereth such as be of a lowly, contrite spirit. What's a broken heart? It's not talking of something medical. Sometimes it's maybe even a little unfortunate that we've come to associate a part of an anatomy with something that's a component of our being that's lesser understood. It's not talking there about a rupture in the heart wall or a myocardial infarction, which we, that's the medical name for heart attack. Coronary artery is plugged. A piece of the tissue of the heart dies and the rest of the tissue goes on functioning. Not talking about an aneurysm bursting in one of the vessels to the heart. It's not talking about that. We're not talking about a tear or a flaw in the muscle that pumps the blood through these bodies. That's not what's under consideration. But rather, a heart here means something that's where our deep feelings reside. Where if you clear away all the mask we put on, all the presentation, when people ask us how you doing, we say fine reflexively. And we know inside something's really hurting bad. Often that's our heart. Our heart is hurting bad. And a broken heart, that's what it means. It means deep within you, you're wounded badly. You're hurting badly. There's some deep sadness. And if you live long enough, most all of God's children have experienced a broken heart. How many of you have experienced a broken heart? I have. And it's not something you would ask for willingly. Not by a long shot. It's not something that you want to have again if you've had it and gotten past it. It's something that's very difficult to deal with. And yet, the Scripture gives us encouragement. The Lord is nigh, He's near unto them that are of a broken heart. Probably the most familiar occurrence of a broken heart is a person, often a young person, is in love. They've got a young man has a girlfriend, young lady has a boyfriend. And it seems that they've made a connection. They understand one another. They're attracted to one another. They want to spend time with one another. And then by and by, one of the partner's emotions grow cold. Maybe interests drift elsewhere. Maybe words are said or deeds are done that seem unforgivable. And they go their separate ways. And one or both is hurting so bad. As they go about the town, they're looking for signs of that person or where they might have been. Their ears are tuned to what that person might have said. They're both angry and hurt, wanting to get together maybe and wanting to stay apart at the same time. Emotions are conflicted. They hurt deeply inside. It's a very natural feeling. It's something that comes to many of us. But there are worse cases of a broken heart than that. Because a broken heart is often caused by grief. And grief is so often caused by loss. And loss is so often caused by sin. If it's two children of God who are in love with one another, even the example of a natural breakup follows that same pattern. They're sad deep within. There's a loneliness. There is a feeling of woundedness because there is a loss. There is a grief, and that sadness is a grief, and a grief is a sorrow associated with a loss. That is, they had this friendship. They had this closeness. They had this attraction. They had this time that they had spent together and were planning to spend more, and it's gone. It's gone. So here the brokenheartedness has resulted from grief, and the grief has resulted from loss, and almost always a loss of something that sweet is due to sin. Somebody has made a promise and not kept it. It's a sin. Somebody has gotten very selfish and disregarded the person that was precious to them or they were precious to. And it's a sin. Somebody has done something in such a way that it not only is against the righteous commandment of God, but it's cruel and thoughtless of the other person. And so the sin has produced a loss, and the loss has produced a grief, and the grief is breaking the heart. It happens to us naturally, but it's far worse when it's something between us and the one who loves us better than any boyfriend or girlfriend will ever even come close to. The one who loves us better than any husband or wife will ever come close to. This is the one who loves us better than any parent or child will ever come close to. God loves His people with an everlasting love. That's Jeremiah 31:3, and it applies to all of God's children. When Jeremiah there writes, "Yea, the Lord hath appeared to me of old, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." We have to examine that. The Lord's love, the Bible does not say, is universal, but the Bible does say it is everlasting. That is, those whom He loves forever. Let me tell you something else. Anyone that the Lord loves is not going to condemnation in the lake of fire. Anyone that the Lord loves was redeemed on the cross by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are going to glory without the loss of a single one. The Lord Jesus said it Himself in John chapter 6, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of Him which has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day." And as far as the Lord's love being everlasting and inseparable from the people whom He loves, we find that at the end of Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says in the last two verses of Romans 8, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, the Bible does teach once saved, always saved, speaking of salvation unto eternal life. But the Bible goes further than that. The Bible says once loved, always loved. Does God continue to love people that are in the lake of fire? No, He doesn't. He never loved them. Because love is the bond of perfectness. That's what Colossians 3:14 tells us. Is love is an everlasting and perfect bond between the one who loves and those that they love. And then the judgment is described as everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:9. The Lord cannot be perfectly bound to a being who is being punished with everlasting destruction from His presence. So here's the bottom line of all that. If the Lord loves someone, they're going to glory. The Bible's clear on that. Clear on that. His love is such a perfect, unbreakable bond. And so God has chosen a people in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says that, "According as He has chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Now those He chose, He gave to Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for all of the sins of all of the people He loved. He even paid for the sin of unbelief. And He says, "For He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And all those whom God chose, God the Father chose, and God the Son died for, God the Spirit indwells, that is, He causes them to be born again or regenerated. "And because ye are sons, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." That's Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. So all that are elected in Christ are redeemed by Christ, and they are regenerated by the Spirit of Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in complete harmony, not only in the activities toward salvation, but in the number saved. Now, that is what causes the broken heart between a child of God and God. You see, when it says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, it's not that something external breaks the heart, and so God's hovering around nigh hoping he'll be invited in. That's not the way it works. But rather God, in his sovereign pleasure, sends forth the Spirit of his Son into a heart of one of his children that he's died for. And his presence within their heart, representing righteousness there, beholds the sin. Of course, he already knew the sin, but now God is beholding the sin of this individual from the inside, so this individual is aware of sin. He may not be able to articulate it. He may not know specifically where he sinned. That's what the law is about. And then the gospel is to come in and minister to someone who is brokenhearted because they're mourning over their sins. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So what I'm trying to say here is you don't have a person whose heart is broken externally and God is hovering around their heart waiting for an invitation. You've got somebody whom God has sovereignly entered into their heart, and their heart is broken because they realize that they have sinned against such a good and righteous and loving God. Now, if you want to know why I don't think God hovers around waiting for an invitation to cause someone to be born again, is because the Lord Jesus Christ taught that's not the way it happens. He said the wind, this is what he says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 8, for the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou mayest hear the sound thereof, but thou knowest not whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You realize the plain teaching there. The Lord's saying the wind blows where the wind wants to. And you may see the evidence. You may see the trees shifting. You may see the dust kick up. But you can't tell where it originated and where it's going to stop. You're not in control of it. You can't tell the origin or the destination. Neither can you direct it. It's out of your control. The wind blows where it wants to, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We can't help someone get born again. We can't help ourselves to get born again. But God, in his sovereign love, causes all of his children to be born again. Even those that may never see the light of day. You have somebody whose life on earth is short because of sickness or because of abortion or childhood disease. Never utter a word, never articulate a word. But the Lord is able to go in and cause that person to be born again, known unto himself, maybe not known to any other human being. You remember the situation with John the Baptist? John the Baptist was in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. She was 6 months old. Her cousin Mary comes in, just newly having conceived the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary steps in and greets her cousin Elizabeth. Hi, cousin, I'm here to stay with you for a few months. And the baby, John the Baptist, Elizabeth doesn't say, kicked. And the Holy Spirit, describing what happened, doesn't say the baby kicked, the baby moved, the baby flipped. The Holy Spirit and Elizabeth said, the baby, John the Baptist, leaped for joy in the womb of his mother, hearing the voice of the mother of his Lord. You know why? Because John the Baptist was born of the Spirit before he was ever born of Elizabeth. Now, John the Baptist was conceived a sinner, just like all of us are. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So there, John the Baptist shows us the Lord can cause anyone to be born again when, where, and how he pleases, but it always happens by the sovereign, immediate action of the mighty Holy Spirit. Why preach the gospel? To feed that child of God that's been born. You know, after a child is born, the child needs feeding. That's the purpose of the gospel, to come in and feed the born-again child of God, to convict him of his sins. He knows he's a sinner. Something in his heart's witnessing against the sin that dwells in his body and in his, has been committed in his life, and he may not know. And the preaching of God's word comes in and says, this is where you sin. Here's some places. There's some you don't know about, secret sins. And yet, here is the cure for it. you have had your sins paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now what you need to do is acknowledge that He indeed is your Savior. He is the Son of the living God. Be baptized. Become His disciple. Follow in His path of love and in reverence to your Savior. And live your life in a way of worship and witness in such a way that you are blessed to experience that deliverance from sin. Now, you know where your salvation comes from. You know where your life originates. You know what your destiny is, and you have such a hope that you can rest in it. And so here's what causes a broken heart for a child of God, is that the Spirit of God comes within his heart, and when the Spirit of God is come within his heart, then he begins to be aware of how far his life is from pleasing God. He mourns over his sins. He has a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and it breaks his heart. The Apostle Paul, after he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Then his next question was, "Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do?" And he came to see himself as the chiefest of sinners. You remember what the Apostle Peter's first reaction was when the Lord bade him draw the fishes, and it was a huge load of fishes. The net tore, and the boat began to sink. He falls down on his knees in the boat. That's unusual for a seagoing man. And he says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." How did he know he was a sinful man? Because the Savior that was standing before him, the Spirit of his Savior, was in his heart. Witnessing within and without, the Lord had never said, "Peter, you're a sinful man." He just said, "Put your net on the right side of the ship." And he realized, "I am in the presence of the power of God. You better go away. You might not want to hang around such a sinner as me. Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." What was the answer of the Lord? "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." See, there's a changed life there. There was a broken heart when he said, "Depart from me." And that's the reaction of many. It was the reaction of the publican. The Pharisee was there praying, "Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men, unjust, adulterers, extortioners, even as this publican here. I fast twice during the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." About ready for the blue ribbon. That's not in the Bible, but you get the feeling. The publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes, but he smote on his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Why? The Spirit of the Lord was in his heart, breaking his heart. You know what happens when you break something where a light is within? Kind of like Gideon's. Remember how Gideon won the first big battle? Had 300 men against the thousands and thousands of Midianites. And his men were equipped with a lamp covered over by a pot. And they held trumpets in their hands. They sounded the trumpet, broke the pot. You know what happened when they broke the pot? The light of the lamp shone out through the broken spots. And that's what happens with a child of God. There's that pain in there. There's that disquietude. There's that sorrow. And the sorrow, because of their separation from God, their shame over their sin, their realization of how far short they've fallen of the glory of God, causes cracks of grief within their heart. A light shines through, because the Spirit of God within their heart is the light. Jesus Christ is the light of every man that cometh into the world. That's the world God so loved. And so the light shines out there. And so God, who's within there, is nigh unto himself, shining from without. Now then, we find that experience throughout the Bible. David in Psalm 51, already mentioned verse 5 there. But he says the same thing. He says that actually is a sacrifice to God. When you realize you're not just trying to hold your heart together with mesh wire, but you realize you need God, your heart breaks. David says in Psalm 51, Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That is when your heart is broken because of your distance from God that you have come to perceive and be aware of. That is an offering up to God. That's a sacrifice of God. And God won't despise it. A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, does the Lord just want you to stay brokenhearted all the time? Does He just want it to break and break and break? No. And the Lord has addressed this. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ saved us from our sins. And let me tell you, His body was broken for us. That's what the unleavened bread is about. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then take the cup, which is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins of many. His body was broken. The bones weren't. Not a bone of Him was broken. But the flesh was broken. It was broken when they scourged Him, whipped Him. It was broken when they put the thorns on His head. It was broken when they drove the nails through His hands. It was broken when they put the spike through His feet. It was broken when they pierced His side with a spear. His body was broken and broken and broken. But there's something else. Is the heart of the Lord was broken. And that's not just something to say to be dramatic or emotional. It's scriptural. Psalm 69, the Lord is speaking about being on the cross. Look at Psalm 69, verses 20 and 21. Says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Who received vinegar to drink as they were suffering? It was the Lord. They lifted up, when He said, I thirst, they lifted up a sponge filled with vinegar for Him to drink. So this psalm, inspired by the Spirit of God, set down by David, refers to the Lord who received vinegar to drink, and He said, reproach hath broken my heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, hanging in the darkness, paying for our sins, paying for them in full, in the darkness, out of a broken heart, you hear the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember the causes of a broken heart? The broken heart is caused by grief. Grief is caused by loss. Loss is caused by sin. You see, when the Lord was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, there He was, being made sin for us on the cross. And He lost that fellowship that He had with God the Father for a while as God looked upon Him being our sin and poured out His righteous wrath upon His Son for our sins. What a loss. What a loss. And in that loss there was a grief. And He cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? And that grief was so great that it broke that mighty loving heart. And that was a sacrifice of God, to God, saving us. Now finally, before I sit down, does God leave our hearts broken? Psalm 147 tells us about that. It says in verse 3, Psalm 147, let me just read all the first three verses. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. That's the Lord's plan, and He gets all of His plans done without fail. He heals the broken in heart. Now He heals all the brokenhearted children when He brings them home. When our time on earth is finished and our bodies sleep in the dust and return to the dust from whence they're taken, and our spirits go into the presence of the Lord, our hearts go with them, and He binds up the broken in heart without fail. But you know, He does a lot of heart healing even while we live on the earth. That's what following Him is about. That's what rejoicing in His truth is about. That's what forgiving those that have transgressed against you is about. That's what being in the church is about and coming home. That's what living a life of worship is about. Is that heart that's so broken and may be broken again is bound up and healed by the Lord. And so embrace life fully that way. That many times because you love someone, sin will cause there to be a breach in fellowship. You will feel a loss. You will feel a grief. The grief will break your heart. The broken heart will be acceptable sacrifice to God. God is nigh unto them that are a broken heart, and He healeth the broken in heart. I don't know how many cycles that you'll go through on this. I know you won't ask for any of them. I don't. And yet, what a great blessing broken-hearted people are to the world when the light of Jesus Christ shines out through those cracks and they share that experience, yes, in lesser degree, but in the same quality as the broken heart of the victorious Savior, the Lord Jesus. May God bless you.